Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 3rd, 2021. Come and see our Creator. We try to connect in such a way as to break down all the walls between us. It does not matter that we all differ in our thoughts, desires, and characters, only one thing is important: to unite around one goal. This is what connects us. Therefore, there is no need to change anyone's natural qualities. On the contrary, the more differences there are between us, the better. But at the same time, we set one goal for ourselves and we all want to be aimed to connect in it. This will be the Creator that we want to reveal, because the Creator is the result of our connection. The Creator is called Come and See, Bori, that is, we will come and see that He is one. Until we reveal Him between us, as one whole, in common agreement, common understanding and feeling, and in one point of our connection, we will not reveal the Creator. That is why He is called Come and See, because we build the condition of His existence by our connection. There is no Creator without a creation. He does not exist until we create this concept of Creator, and He begins to exist only relative to us, as our Creator. Besides this, there is only an abstract upper force that we do not attain. From the International Kabbalah Convention, September 25, 2021, Entering Impregnation, Revealing a New World, Lesson 1. Michael Leitman, on Quora: what are the most important things we need to teach our children early in their life? Today's globally interconnected and interdependent world where we raise our children is very different from the world we grew up in. In order for children to grow up prosperous and happy in today's world, they need to gain awareness of how connected we are, and the sooner they learn about it, the better. We should teach them about the planet we live on, so that they understand how we exist in a single ecosystem, with myriad interactions running throughout nature's still, vegetative, animate and human levels. We should also teach them about the solar system, the influence of the sun and the moon over the earth, how seasons change, and how natural forces shape our lives. In terms of human development, we should show children that divided civilizations and nations become antagonistic and filled with problems, while united ones prosper. Most importantly, we need to teach them the interconnectedness and interdependence of nature's forces as a single system and their effect on us. They should understand that even though they connect through today's technologies, their connection extends beyond technology to other people and nature on all of its levels. The goal of emphasizing humanity's and nature's interconnectedness in children's education is to nurture their positive connections with their environment, that is, with other people and nature. If they grow up with a sensation that caring for other people and nature positively affects them, and vice versa, that not caring about other people and nature negatively affects them, then they will bypass a lot of suffering and live enjoyable, peaceful and harmonious lives. The key point in this connection-enriching education is to understand that our attitude to other people and nature is an ongoing relationship. We can then understand the reciprocity in nature. Thriving relationships, whether in families, friendships, couples, work relations, or in society at large, require mutual consideration. The advantages of reaching genuine friendship and even love in a relationship always override the efforts we apply to get there. Therefore, gaining awareness of our interconnectedness and interdependence should lead us to the conclusion that we should invest in our connections to realize our interdependence positively. Animals have no instinctive drive to harm other animals. Any killing of other animals that they do is out of necessity for their survival, but not out of a sinister intention to enjoy the other animal's suffering. People, however, have an additional egoistic quality, as it is written, "The inclination of a man's heart is evil from his youth." We should thus raise our children with a constant concern that they will learn the interconnectedness and interdependence of everyone and everything, and think and act accordingly. based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and a team of writers on September 2, 2021, Writers Meeting 274. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora. What is the purpose of public international law if there are no effective enforcement mechanisms to apply it? Today, international law is in the hands of speculating politicians who use it for their egoistic goals. The solution to this problem can take place on condition that we change our social values to altruistic ones. With such a shift, we can effect positive change in relationships between people and between countries. Doing so will impact a fundamental shift in our increasingly malevolent attitudes to each other to positive connections. It is necessary for altruistic values to be the foundation for all international agreements. Of course, there is no just international law today, and therefore there are also no effective mechanisms to apply it. Only on condition that it will be altruistic and directed at humanity's benefit, that humanity will want such laws and governance to become implemented, and will understand the need for them, will a worldwide form of governance emerge. Today, we also discover that the UN fails to fulfill its task. It cannot do so, as it is like a toy, a means, in the hands of politicians, and it fails to carry out what we had counted on and hoped for in the past. We could form 1,000 more international organizations, whether altruistic or egoistic ones, and governments, but the same situation will continue until we change their foundation, a transformation for them to be for humanity's benefit, fortified by the understanding of the general law of nature. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. My new article on LinkedIn, Tunisia's new prime minister could mark the beginning of a real Arab Spring. On September 29, Tunisia's president, Kais Saied, named Professor of Geology Najla Boudin Romdane as the country's new prime minister. The newsworthy element about this story is that at a time of intensifying intolerance within the Muslim world, a Muslim country appoints a woman as prime minister. I think it is a wise decision that can pay Tunisia a handsome dividend, and I hope that naming Professor Romdane for this high position will mark the beginning of a new and positive Arab Spring. While it is not for me to speculate on the motive of President Saied in picking a woman for the job, I have no doubt that essentially, a woman is a natural pick for an administrative task. After all, who runs the house? The woman. While the man is usually regarded as the head of the family, the real landlady is, well, the lady. She may stand behind her man, but from there, she runs her husband, as well as everyone and everything else. Since biblical times, the man was instructed to follow the woman when it comes to making choices. In Abraham's case, for example, God said to Abraham, "Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, Gen. 21:12. Therefore, I think that picking a woman to govern an Arab country is a good choice. I have no doubt that she will face obstacles. She will need to prove herself to her people and to Arab leaders wherever she goes. Nevertheless, it is a welcome revolution that I think will eventually succeed. It is time that even fundamentalist Muslim cultures will begin to acknowledge the unique power of women, that their word has merit and weight. Throughout the world, we can see the impact of women in every field, and it is time it reached the Muslim world, as well. Some countries pride themselves in being progressive, when in truth, they place a glass ceiling over women's heads that blocks their promotion up the ranks of government. I think that such countries are losing in statesmanship, as at home, ignoring women's views is a great loss to everyone. It is written in the book of Zohar, Bereshit 2, and the man said, 'This is now a bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh.' Now he began to praise her, 'She shall be called a woman, for there are none other like her, the glory of the house.' Indeed, a woman at the head of a country will relate to the country as she relates to her home. The citizens will be as her children. If she behaves like a woman instead of trying to fit into the masculine stereotype, she will see to every little detail that is under her influence. Unlike a man, a woman can multitask very naturally. While men must focus on one task at a time in order to do it well, women can perform multiple duties concurrently without losing concentration on any of them. Therefore, it is my hope that this welcome change will percolate to more Muslim countries, including the Arab society here in Israel. I have no doubt that it will not be easy, but in the end, if women join the leadership of countries, they will be very instrumental and promote effective solutions to the multiple crises plaguing our world. Michael Leitman, on Quora, do we need to fix humans? The weakness of world reformers throughout the generations is that they regarded man as a machine that is not operating properly and needs mending, meaning to remove its broken parts and replace them with working ones. Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, Peace in the World. There is nothing faulty in a person and nothing needs changing in him. Everything was given to the person by nature, so different negative attributes, and even desires to kill and to steal, were given to us by God or the Creator. Nature and God are regarded as the same force of love and bestowal in the wisdom of Kabbalah. In Gematria, God and the nature are equal in number. We do not correct people by imprisoning or executing them. We can correct ourselves by placing ourselves in frameworks where we can reach the understanding that we need to correct our nature, or in other words, to positively connect above our most negative impulses toward them. We need to rise to the next level of our development without destroying our negative attributes, and we need to acquire positive impulses instead of negative impulses in relation to others. When we actively apply a positive impulse above our negative impulses in such a way, then we will start feeling a new state of connection between plus and minus as between the negative and positive poles of the same field. We will then start feeling a whole new peaceful and harmonious reality. Based on Fundamentals of Kabbalah with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on July 7, 2019. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Where does the motherland begin? Homeland is where you feel good. Folk wisdom. If a person is corrected, then it coincides that the homeland is where you feel good. And if a person is not corrected, then he is mistaken in the definition of homeland, perhaps absolutely. A corrected person is one for whom the goal of his life, his development, and the goal of the world are one and the same. Question, what is that goal? Answer, goodness. Question, what do you mean by this? Answer, when everyone feels good. Question, what simple definitions you give? Is it okay for everyone? Doing good to another? Answer, yes. Question, what is to do good to another? Answer, do not do to another what you do not want to be done to yourself. This is the main rule. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, August 5, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how come there are 7 billion people, yet we feel alone? Egoism, the desire to enjoy at the expense of others, is at the basis of our nature. Over the course of our lives, we constantly develop and grow. As a result, we find ourselves increasingly separated from each other, and in our time, we have reached the fact that we can no longer stand each other. We find ourselves becoming increasingly divided, isolated, detached and hateful of one another, and sink deeper into depression, anxiety, stress, loneliness and drug abuse. The growing ego separates us, and we feel that we are truly cut off from everyone and even from our very selves. On the other hand, we also start feeling the opposite, that we increasingly depend on each other and cannot live without each other. So how can we resolve this dilemma, where we find ourselves becoming increasingly interdependent, but at the same time, we hate and reject each other? How can we tie this problem into one? We cannot do so in our current life. There is but a single solution. We need to rise from our current level of existence, where we all live with self-concern as our top priority, to a different level, where we prioritize the benefit of others, and positively connect to them. If we reach the understanding that our egoistic mode of existence is out of gas, and that we need to shift to a different state, opposite to the current one, then we will merit a harmonious existence in balance with nature, and no one will feel alone. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Kabbalist's attainments. Question. In chapter 19 of the book of Joshua, prophets, very accurate descriptions of the names of the conquered lands are given. For whom are they intended, ordinary people or Kabbalists? Answer, they are given specifically for those people who can understand what the land is, Eretz, from the word Ratzon-Desire, and how they can divide, realize, understand, and feel these desires in themselves, work on each of them and on all, and connect them together so they gradually move forward and carry out a partial correction from an egoistic relation to desires for altruistic ones. Question. What happens when a Kabbalist hears such different names? Answer. It depends on the attainment of the Kabbalist. He begins to understand their gematria, their names, why, how, in what sequence everything happens, and so on. To do this, you need to go through almost all the states. But there is nothing complicated about this. Simply, there is a gradual attainment of desires, their essence in working on yourself. Everything goes from easy to difficult. From CabTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, August 16, 2021. And they will return to their dust. When the Spirit is added in him and he sees, then he departs from this world, as it is written, you withdraw their breath, they perish, and return to their dust. The Book of Zohar. When you ascend the spiritual levels, the previous step is mortified and egoism becomes even greater and passes only the states of your denial. According to the law of denial, of negation, at the next stage, you use it to an even greater extent, in an even greater egoistic expression. A person sees this death, this decay, this immersion in the grave of his egoism. He rejoices that his egoism will rot, that he covers it, buries it. The decay of egoism is an unwillingness to use it because it is lifeless, it does not breathe life into you. Question. Is there any connection between spiritual decay and what is happening in the ground with the human body? Answer, all these processes take place in the spiritual. In our world, only a weak copy of them is embodied. In fact, the spiritual world is a huge system of levels, while our world is the smallest, dim, last, inanimate level. Compared to the spiritual fillings, there is absolute emptiness here. From CabTV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 20.